think about the same thing. I think we're going to experiment in my words that we may be able to do to our own lives. And as we do so, Lord, that we may grow in prospects. Help us, Father, to be more like mercy. So bless us now, Father, we ask you in Jesus' name.
A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. I think that's about as simple a definition as you can get, and probably about as clear a definition as you can get. Of course, a parable is different from fable. You might say a fable is some kind of a story with some kind of an application. The only thing that in fables you usually have animals speaking, and in normal life, of course, animals do not speak. And so when you have a parable, the whole setting is a perfectly normal, understandable, human type of setting. But that story has a deep spiritual meaning. And our Lord Jesus Christ frequently taught by means of parables. Today we want to look at one of these parables here. Lord willing, we'll look at another one next week, that we may see also how our Lord used these parables to teach some great spiritual truth. The parable that we have read earlier in Matthew chapter 21 is really a very simple story. Let me read to you the salient parts here of these verses. Son, go work today in my vineyard. And he answered and said, I will not. But afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second, said likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. That is basically the very heart of this parable. It tells us about a man who had two sons. And he approached both of these sons and asked about going to work. And so let us look, first of all, as we look at this parable, at the son who refused and then repented. The son who refused and repented. What thinking? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. There is that simple request. And he answered and said, I will not. He refused. Now, we do not know why he refused. You know, commentators have speculated. Don't they always do that? Maybe he got out of the wrong side of bed in the morning. Or maybe he had plans that he wanted to do something that day. And it just, you know, he didn't want to do it. But the problem is, you know, when you start to speculate on the Word of God, that's a very dangerous thing to do. The Bible is silent as to the reason of his refusal. And let that be sufficient. He said, no, I will not. All right? But then, afterwards, he repented. So what we see secondly then regarding the son who refused and repented, his repentance. And again, that shows us a number of things. You know, we need not be slaves of our past. You know, think about things that happened to us in the past. Whether it be the immediate past, whether it be longer ago. But we don't need to say, oh, because I made that mistake or because I did that wrongly, that we don't have to continue in that way. If we started wrong, we're not forced to continue in that wrong way. It is never too late to change. And sometimes we forget that. But his son realized that. And so his life changed. And this change showed, first of all, on his part, a reflection. He thought about the situation. His initial reaction when the father came to him, "I will not." But afterwards, he started to think about it. We might almost use the word meditate. Because that's really what meditate is. To think seriously and at length about a certain thing. And so he starts to think about it. Again, we don't know exactly what he thought. Maybe he thought, "Well, I was really rather rude to my father. I will not. That's not a nice way to talk to my dad." Or maybe, "Well, plan to do something else, but that can wait. I can do that tomorrow." But whatever it is, he started to think about that situation. Not only started he to think about that situation, but we also see some humility on his part. A willingness to admit wrong. He knew he should have obeyed. He should have gone. But he said, "I will not." But now, as he thinks about it, he realizes that he was wrong. He realizes that he should have done something that his father asked him to do. And so he humbly admits that he is wrong. And again, this matter of humility is something that we see frequently taught in the Bible. Something that we sometimes don't like to think about. But God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. We talked actually about some of these verses last week. But there is that humility. The Lord Jesus Christ humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. But here also, this son humbled himself. He admitted that he was wrong. And along with this, there came a desire to do better in the future. Not just simply a question from, "Oh, I should have done something else." But we see his action. Because afterwards he repented and went. He went. That was everything. Now, again, the account doesn't give us a lot of the details. He may not have said another word. He may not have gone back to his father and said, "Sorry, Dad, I was wrong. Now I'll go." We don't know because the Bible is silent. But now he obeys his father. And remember that God looks for obedience. God looks for obedience. Not just on his part, but on our part too. As we have read and mentioned many times, to obey is better than sacrifice. And so there needs to be obedience. That's what we see on his part. There is that obedience. As God looks for obedience, initially, "I will not." But afterward, he repented and went. Ultimately, there was obedience on his part. And he was willing to do what he needed to do. Now, the way to make amends here for some of these things in the past is not simply to make promises and say, "In the future I will," but rather, what he did, he just went. And he did what his father expected him to do in the first place. So it's good to keep that in mind. No need to make a lot of excuses. No need to talk a lot. But he said, well, we don't know if he said anything. But he did something. He went. So his father said, "Son, go work today in my vineyard." He went. He went to the vineyard. And he did whatever needed to be done there. So we see then the son's obedience. We see this first son in two stages, as it were. First stage, I will not. Second stage, he will. And the second is obviously better than the first. He was moving in the right direction. And that's a good question. Are you and I moving in the right direction? Are we moving towards the light? Are we moving towards the Lord? Not away from Him. Not to say, I will not, but rather to go and do what the Father told us to do. See, God forgives the dead past in His children if they will but come and ask Him for forgiveness. If they are now in the right path, He accepts them. They may once have been very far from Him, but now, once they confess their sins, He's willing to forgive them. You know, you look at the passage here. You know, the question is asked, whether of them twain did the will of his father, they say unto him the first. Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came in unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him, and ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterwards, that ye might believe him. So here we see that application. And the application is really to the Jews. And our Lord tells them, John came to you, John the Baptist. He came preaching there. He came in the way of righteousness. And the message that John the Baptist came to bring was a message of repentance. But did you listen to him? No. You did not listen to him. But on the other hand, he says, the publicans, the tax collectors, the harlots, they heard that message. And they believed. They believed him. And therefore, they will go into the kingdom of God before you. Simple application, isn't it? Remember, the Pharisee stood in the temple. Lord, I thank you that I'm not like that horrible, terrible, miserable tax collector over there. I am so wonderful. But he's a wicked, miserable guy. I am not like him. But what did he do? He smote his breast and cried out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And see, that's the thing. Here was his son. Lord, I will not. Father, I will not serve you. I'm not going to go to the vineyard. But afterwards, he repented. He realized that he was wrong. And he went. He did what his father asked him to do in the first place. He became obedient. And thank God that when we come to him, he's willing to forgive us if we have drifted away from him. If we are now in the right path. For now, willing to obey him. You know, it's an interesting question. But what about you and me? Are we like this son? God says, go work today in my vineyard. Put a job for you. He does. Would you be willing to go and serve him? Or do you say, I will not? I've got my plans already made. A lot of us, we have our plans all made. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. It's the old story. I'm going to go to uni. Then what? I'm going to go for a master's degree. Then what? I'm going to get my doctor's degree. Then what? I'll get a high-paying job. Then what? I'll get rich. Then what? Oh, then I'll get married. Then what? I'll have a family. And then what? Oh, I'll make sure my children have the best education. Then what? Ah, then my children grow up, and I'll have grandchildren. And then what? I'll die. And then what? And then what? After you die. But our plans made it, isn't it? But what about the Father coming? Our Heavenly Father coming and saying, I got work today for you in my vineyard. There are things I want you to do. Would we be willing to do it? Or are we like the second son? Yeah, the second son. The son who consented and disobeyed. He consented, I go, sir, and went not. Well, let's look at him too. Note first of all his agreement. He is assenting to what his father says. And the father came to the second son and said likewise, son, go work today in my vineyard. And he answered and said, I go. Sounds good. He's willing to do what the father says. But they were only words. They were words that were not yet carried out. Remember James, be doers of the words and not hearers only. You know, he heard the words of the Father. He says, oh yes, Dad, I'll do it. I'll go. I'll go work in your vineyard. But being words only, they were of little value. You know, there's good things we can say about this son too. You know, sounds good. I go. And he said, I go, sir. Notice his courtesy. He addressed his father as sir. So very politely. Probably knew the commandments, honor thy father and thy mother. The days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And so he was very polite. He was very courteous. And of course, we are to be courteous. We are to be polite. We are to respect parents. Now, there's no question there. Honor thy father and thy mother. So there's no question there. We are to do that. We are to be respectful to parents. But it is hypocritical to have good manners when they're not accompanied by good actions. And that was the problem with that second son. He had good manners. Yes, sir. But did he mean it? You know, every time I hear this, yes, sir, I go, sir, I'm reminded of life in the United States, especially in the southern states. Children have drilled it into them. You speak properly to your parents. And if the father says something, they will answer, yes, sir, no, sir. The mother says something, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. I don't hear it up north in the United States, but I hear it in the southern states. That's where I study. And you hear it, probably becoming a little bit less now than it was 50 years ago when I first went there. But you still hear it. That's for politeness. But that politeness without the actions doesn't mean much. And that was the problem with that son. I go, sir. Oh, yes, I respect you. Yes, ma'am. Yes, mom. Yes, dad. Yes, sir. But he did not do it. He was disobedient. He went not. The first one repented and went. But the second son went not. Now, we do not need to think that he started out by lying to his father. In other words, we don't have to say, his father came to him and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. I am not going to do it. But you know, I can't tell him that I better be blessed. Yes, sir. You know. No, that was not his attitude. See, there's no indication that that was his attitude. So we don't need to think that he lied to his father and promises to do something that he had no intention of doing at all. But for some reason, and again, we're not told the reason. Maybe something happened, you know, that we don't know about. But it's immaterial. The fact is, we don't speculate, but he neglected to do what he had promised to do. He didn't do it. Son, will you go and work in my vineyard? Yes, Dad. But he didn't do it. So, reminds us, it's a big step from good intentions to good actions. There's often good intentions and maybe even good resolutions. We're still fairly early in the year. Are you keeping still your New Year's resolutions, or have they gone long by the board? Well, the difference between the resolutions that we make and actually carry them out, isn't it? Good intentions. Yes, sir. I'll go. But he went not. It's a big step from the one to the other. The intention to the actual carrying out of the task. And therefore we see then his condemnation. Jesus appealed to the bystanders for their verdict. He went to the people. Alright, what think ye? Here's the parable. Now he comes to the application. That heavenly meaning. Whether of them twain is the will of his Father. Well, he wanted to convince them. He wanted to reach their conscience. Because they said unto him, the first. Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and you believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him, and ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterwards, that ye might believe him. Before we looked at that in relation to the first son, the harlots, the publicans, they believe, they repented of their sin, they made things right with God. They were like the first son. I will not. They lived a life of sin. They were wicked. But they paused. They started to think about their situation. They repented and came to believe on the Lord. But the publicans and the harlots believed him. But here you have these Jewish religious leaders, these Pharisees. They didn't. Ye, when you had seen it, repented not afterward that you might believe him. God pictured it. They did not come and believe on the Lord. So, he now desires us to see and feel the truth of what he said. Could there be a question, by the way? You know, what if I'm trained at the will of his Father? We all know the answer. The first one. The one who said no, but afterwards did. See, good promises count for nothing. They actually count against us if we disobey in conduct. Because God judges by conduct. Well, we make a lot of promises, don't we? I go, sir. And many promises are made to us. When I was preparing for this message, I came across a story about a young man who loved sports. And he had his favorite player. And he met some other kids that were playing basketball together. And he said, oh, this is my favorite player. And one of the other guys said, you know, I know him. You know him, my hero. Yep, I know him. I even got a couple of his signatures. Can I have one? Sure, kid. I'll give you one. I'll put it in your letterbox. I know where you live. Tomorrow morning, you check your letterbox. Well, that night he couldn't sleep. Next morning, went to the letterbox, and it was empty. Another broken promise. How often does that happen? We break our promises. People make promises to us. They don't keep them. But don't let the broken promises of this world keep you from the believing the promises of God. Because God will always act according to His promise, as 2 Peter 3:13 says. Numbers tells us, God is not a man that He should lie. God doesn't lie. God tells the truth. In Joshua 1:5, God says, I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. When God makes a promise, He will keep His word. He means exactly what He says. He says it, He does it. That is God. So, whatever you're going through, things could be difficult. Things could be problematic. But lean upon the promises of God. They never fail. Because God never fails. You know, you think about the two sons here. Actually, both of them are bad. If you really come down to it. Okay, the first one repented, fair enough. But really, he said, I will not. That wasn't very good. So, the first son, that was a problem. Second son, problem because he didn't do what he said. He didn't keep his promise. So in a sense, he got problems with both of these boys. Now, you can say good things about both of them, but also we say bad things about both of them. But the difference is that the first one repented. Took him a while, but ultimately he repented and did what the Father wanted him to do. And if God speaks to you, I don't mean audible, that you sit in your room and all of a sudden there's a voice coming down from the ceiling. God speaks to us through His Word. As you read the Bible, and the Holy Spirit applies that Word to your life, to your heart, obey Him. Don't be like the first son and say, I will not. But then don't be like the second son either and says, I will, but don't do it. So when God speaks to us, for instance, if He asks you to go somewhere, opportunities to go. Lord willing, later on this year, we'll have a trip going to Esperance to spend time with Pastor John Barlow. Would be good. Some of you I know are planning to go. Lord willing, later on this year, we will have a mission trip to Myanmar. I wonder how many would be willing to go. Now, I'm not saying you should go. What I'm saying is, if God touches your heart, you're reading His Word, you realize, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That applies to me too. Pastor Ed, I'm willing to go. But then don't change your mind halfway, like the second son. I'd rather, in that case, if you were like the first son, I don't think I can go. And afterwards you say, I've looked at things, and I can go after all. But watch out for these two sons. Don't be like the two sons. But rather, when God speaks to you, the very first time, say, Lord, here am I. Send me. I'm willing to do what you want me to do. That's the way it should be. And so, we have the parable of the two sons. Both sons had problems. First one refused. Ah, yes, I know he repented. But he should have not refused in the first place. The second son, he consented, but disobeyed. He should not have disobeyed. Problems with both. May God help us to be not like either one, but may we be willing always to obey the Lord and go where He wants us to go. Let us pray. Most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, help us to learn from this parable of the two sons. Lord, the one son refused and repented, the other son consented and disobeyed. Lord, may we not be like either son. But Lord, help us to always obey when Thou dost speak to us. May we be willing to follow Thee wherever Thou dost send us, whatever Thou dost want us to do. Lord, if we hear Thy voice, go work today in my vineyard, may we be willing to do so, and not only be willing to do so, but may we actually do it. Lord, may we not just be hearers, but may we be doers of the word. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our closing.